This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.
We're recording.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the...
Too loud. Because I wasn't... Your testing voice, Mike. You were giving me your testing voice. So I had your channel
voice.
Way longer, okay. Your holiday voice. Okay, right. Go for it. Your holiday voice is too jovial.
I'll try to tone down the joy for this holiday edition.
Yeah, more morose.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to a very special holiday edition of Ages and Icons. I'm Mike Crisolago.
And I'm Gina Bucci. Ho, 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 Mike.
Ho. Is that a little Mr. Hankey?
What?
It sounded like Mr. Hankey from South Park.
Oh, yeah.
There's a little hi-ho. Oh,
I think so. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, what else goes on? Festivus, of course.
Yes, Festivus, don't forget
to everybody. Well. And to you, Mike.
And to you, Gina, and to everybody listening. Thanks so much. This is sort of a special show for us because, you all right over there?
Yeah, no, I'm like, why do tables have legs?
Gina's having some trouble.
All the time.
See, too much spiked eggnog already. Mm-hmm. No, it's a special show for us because it's also, aside from being a holiday episode, sort of our one-year anniversary doing this together, Gina.
Yes, we recorded our first podcast. This is kind of cocky of us. Was a year-end holiday podcast last year.
Our debut holiday podcast.
I was like, let's celebrate us. That was our debut. And you guys could find that on, let's do some housekeeping now because the segue is perfect, on everythingzoomer.com, in our podcast section, Ages and Icons, and you can find all of our podcasts there, including our very first one a year ago, our holiday year's end podcast. So we're on everythingzoomer.com, obviously. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify. So that would be Ages and Icons, A-N-D, ampersand will, might not work for you. How come I'm going to make my 2019 New Year's wish right now. I hope the internet
resolution?
Gets, yeah. No, wish. It's a wish.
Oh, okay.
It's a wish for the future. It's a wish for mankind.
Oh.
I'm going to forego my wish for peace this year because if we only get to make one, this is it because it's more important. The ampersand on the internet. I'm tired of seeing it being all coded weird. You know what I mean, Mike? Well, you'll see like AM, colon, P, and like that is supposed to be coding for ampersand. And I just hope that the whole world gets it right in 2019. There you go. Thank you. You're welcome, world.
Hashtag
You're welcome.
Techie problems.
Hashtag who needs world peace when we can solve.
They could change that and like 99% of people wouldn't even notice. Yeah. You'd be the only one happy.
I would.
We'd have no world peace.
Okay.
I mean, what we're talking about the year in review, and before we get our guests in here to sort of join us and talk about the world as a whole and some of the cultural items we wanted to get down into, I wanted to talk just sort of you and I, Gina, because we don't talk enough, I feel like, you and I. Basically, we don't ever see each other until we come into this booth, and then that's the only time we speak to each other.
Mike and Jeannie.
So before we bring in our guests in a couple minutes to sort of talk about the year as a whole, looking back at 2018, I wanted to ask you, Gina, just, you know, we've done this podcast for a year. We've had 15 shows. What was maybe one of your most favorite moments doing Ages and Icons?
See, audience, I've been listening to Mike's interview style for quite a while, and he's just did something that is amazing. He does this in many interviews where he's like, it's like has this conversational question. A novice such as myself would just say, so, Mike, what was your favorite podcast? Like, tell me. But not Mike. He works it into this conversational tone. You see what he did there? And he breaks you down. And you're like, wow, this guy's friends with me, even if you just met him. That is the magic of Mike Crisolago's interview style. That's why he gets the goods, guys.
We've been working together for a year, and you just had that feeling that maybe I'm your friend. it's taken a year.
I just got on. So to answer that, Mike, because, you know, you got me to open up. You get people. That's what you do.
That's
he gets
trick.
Us to open up. Molly Johnson for me, because, well, she was just a delight. She was our first in-studio guest. Totally game. So fun. If you guys haven't heard that episode with Molly Johnson, it's terrific. I think it's like our fourth or fifth episode, I believe.
It's something. I've interviewed her like four or five times, yeah. And she's one of my favorite people to interview.
Yeah, so fun. Yeah. So Molly, for sure, all the way.
Yeah.
What about you? Oh, you know what? Let me try with Mike. So, Mike, I can't do it. Mike, so what about you? What's your favorite pod?
You know, it's been kind of I was looking back and it's like, holy cow, we have Rob Reiner and Michael Caine and, you know, so many huge names, Daryl Hammond, David Sedaris. I had two favorites, actually. One was Jane Seymour, because you and I got to go together. Usually I'm off on my own doing the interview and then we come in and record our intros and stuff here and you edit it. But Jane Seymour, you and I got to go together to the hotel downtown where she was staying in Toronto and talk to her. And she's like Molly. She's so open and funny and honest and like just a very real person. And we talked to her about everything from her career to posing in Playboy at 67 years old and, you know, to everything.
Yeah, that was released this year, right? That Playboy?
Yeah. And we were going to talk about it a little bit later. But yeah, she became the oldest person to ever pose in Playboy, the oldest woman. And also the other podcast that I loved was Michael Palin, because everybody who's read that book of his Erebus about the Erebus ship that went to find the Northwest Passage and such has loved that book. But Michael Palin is one of my heroes from Monty Python. I interviewed Terry Jones of Monty Python a few years ago for Zoomer. And now to be able to sit down with Michael Palin and that he was as kind and funny as he was. And this is something that didn't make it to air, but you'll remember, Gina. The podcast ended. We were in like a little sort of like a room, just a room. And the podcast ended. We finished recording. We thanked him. But then the person who was supposed to come and get him and bring him to his next interview didn't come for like five. Actually, she eventually, it was like 5 minutes later. So we were just standing around chatting with Michael Palin. And he wasn't, you know, like just checking his phone and pretending we're not there. Like he was totally into it and super, super nice and funny guy. And also Rick Mercer.
Oh, yeah.
He was a blast. We interviewed him together, too. And he was a blast as well. He's so freaking funny. It's Rick Mercer, right? Like, what do you expect? So, yeah. But, I mean, every one of them, we have stories that we could tell about. But those are three that sort of stick out in my head.
Okay, so another big thing happened in Ages and Icons history this year. it's historical. Mike is no longer a single dude. He's married, and he married a guest who's actually coming out in a couple minutes, Laura. Laura's our digital content editor here at Zoomer. So, Mike, I noticed a pep in your step lately, like even more so than usual. So tell us how it feels to be married.
Yeah, it feels amazing. Laura started working here a couple years ago, and that's how we met. And she actually, funnily enough, her and I went to the same journalism school together in the same school.
But you never
met. In the same program at the same time, even in the same newsroom. But we never met. She remembered editing my work when she saw my name on Zoomer. She remembered my name because she had edited some of my stuff, but we never actually met.
I didn't even know this.
Yeah, that was 9 years ago now.
Oh, wow.
We were in the same building. And this is at like Centennial College, like a small college, not like a gigantic university, right? So we were in the room together and we never met. And then we have a mutual friend here who works at Zoomer who, you know, told Laura about a job opening and Laura applied and got it. Mm-hmm. And anyway, long story short, we met again then. We never met. And 9 years later, she gets, or I guess at that point it was about 7 years later, she got hired at Zoomer and we met for the first time.
Wow.
Personally, and from there it was almost literally like straight from go.
Love at second sight. Years later,
you know what it was. She's like you. She's you know, if you've never been in an office with Gina, her voice can travel, and so can Laura's.
Yeah.
And I walked in Laura's second day on the job. I guess the first day on the job, people didn't really notice her there because she was her desk was pushed back, so nobody really said anything when they would walk past her. So the second day on the job, when I walked in, I walked past her. I didn't say anything in the morning, and all I hear is "Good morning," and it was her. I was like, "Oh, geez, oh, sorry, good morning," and from there, that was it. It was true love from then on.
From there, seven years later.
7 years later, a match made in Zoomer.
She snaps at you to say good morning and true love.
And now I'm going to say good morning to her for the rest of my life.
Ah, that's amazing. Okay, well, let's let them in. They're outside waiting like a bunch of cattle. Come on in. Welcome, Laura. Welcome, Kim. So, guys, welcome to Ages and Icons.
Why do we have our headphones on when I can't hear,
I can't hear me?
Oh, you don't have to wear the
headphones.
Headphones
are plugged into
anything. You don't have to
wear headphones.
Oh. Where are they plugged into? They're plugged into something.
Okay. I have to pause the show to explain the magic, the behind the scenes.
Yes.
Pardon me. Ding, 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 ding.
All right, so we've got our guests in studio now, two very special guests to celebrate the holidays with us.
And they're well-behaved, right, Kim?
Absolutely.
So Kim Itso, our deputy editor at Zoomer Magazine, and Laura Grande, our digital content editor for everythingzoomer.com.
Yeah.
Did I get that right?
Yes, you did. I saw you hesitate.
Laura's also the lovely bride we were just talking about.
Oh,
congratulations.
Yes. Talking
on,
about me already. I'm the bride.
I'm getting married this year, Laura. It's great.
Thank you.
So you guys are here to fill out the gaps. Mike and I know a lot of stuff, but we don't know everything, right, Mike?
Sure. Once I got married, I learned I did not know everything.
Oh, yeah, that's what it took? So,
No, Kim taught me that a long time ago, long before Laura.
I was priming him, you know.
Right. So speaking of weddings, let's talk about the royal wedding that happened in 20... What year is this? 2018?
It was in May.
May
19th.
It was on May 19th, 2018.
And to be clear, it was Prince Harry and Meghan Markle that actually got married.
That's what
right?
I'm just waiting
Very
for,
important,
yeah.
right? Windsor Castle. Mm-hmm.
The ginger and the actress. Mm-hmm.
The divorcee.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Yeah. She had a lot of stuff. That was quite controversial.
I mean, there's always
That's
hype.
Awesome.
There's always so much hype leading up to a royal wedding and what will happen and will they have this, will they have that. We look back on it now, eight months later or so.
Six-ish?
Well, whatever it is. I mean, what sticks out about this wedding? What made it special?
Well, I mean, there's a few things that made it unique. I mean, obviously that she was an American.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She is a mixed race woman. You know, her mother's black. And so that was that's obviously a big thing in the culture. You know, and for the royal family. And I think what stuck out for me was her mother was the only part of her family that actually attended the wedding.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that says about her frayed relationships with her other family. But what was lovely is that when her father ended up bowing out of the wedding due to health, and I'm using air quotes.
due to being a jerk, I guess?
But yeah. Well, who knows? She loves her dad. That was a statement. But anyways, my point being...
Was that an official statement?
It was,
yes.
actually.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Put up by Kensington Palace. But actually, what was touching is that Harry, you know, asked his father, Prince Charles, which is the next in line to the throne, to actually help walk her down the aisle. And so he did that. And he also took really lovely care of her mother, Doria Ragland. And I think that was quite moving to see Charles be sort of more humanized in that way.
Yeah.
I think the wedding was beautiful. It was touching. It was beautiful. I don't know. What else do you think, Laura?
Well, piggybacking on that, though, I love that, yes, Charles walked her down the aisle, but only at a certain point.
Yes.
She actually entered and walked down the majority of the aisle alone, which, correct me if I'm wrong, we've never seen at a royal wedding before.
No,
so
I don't think so.
That in and of itself, I think, was a pretty big deal.
Big statement.
Yeah, that was really cool. And she's expecting.
She is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pregnant.
Yeah, we don't...
She just found out about this.
She got knocked out pretty quick, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, probably about 2 months in.
Yeah, yeah.
Because by the time they announced it, she was almost 13 weeks, so...
Oh.
Yeah.
So you thinking shotgun wedding or...
No.
No, not quite that.
No. Not quite she's that. Due in the spring. They haven't really given specific dates yet, but people are guessing either late March, early April.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taking bets on the name of the baby.
They are already.
My favorite is Wayne, but I don't know
Wayne.
If that's actually
going to
happen.
Wayne.
Wayne's
come on,
not
Prince
happening.
Wayne. Come on, Prince Wayne. That's never happened before. How great would that be?
What a random name.
Well, he also wouldn't be a prince, though, the kid.
Oh, okay. So it could be Wayne.
Duke Wayne.
Duke.
It would be a Duke.
Now that sounds like a Western kid.
Yeah, it's
Duke.
Like,
well,
John Wayne,
Duke,
basically.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually cool. I'm. You
See,
know,
we're all,
yeah,
we have,
that
we
sounds
have
cool.
For,
yeah,
for Wayne now.
I'm getting
I would go
into
for
Wayne.
Wayne.
I vote Wayne too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what are the other? Is Dirk an option?
Duke Dirk.
Well,
or Luke.
We're talking
Luke.
Westerns.
Luke Darth.
No,
anyway.
They had Expedia did a big poll, like, and they basically investigated what European royals have been naming their babies for decades. And so I actually have it here with me.
Oh, please share.
The top three female names for all of Europe in royal families is Victoria, Mary, and Louise. We've heard these names before. I don't know that they'll go for those names. We'll see.
Well, there is a Lady Louise Windsor, Prince Edward's daughter's Louise.
Yes.
Do we know that it's a girl?
No, we don't know.
Oh, okay.
So we don't even know officially
Laura's
what it's
gonna,
due.
Laura's going to go the boys' names.
And then the boys, the top three
Wayne.
Are... Wayne, besides Wayne, Albert, George, and Charles. Now, they're not going to choose George because we already have a little Prince George. Yeah.
And would they choose Charles with Prince Charles being the next king? Like,
they might.
Still alive. Name it after
the grandson,
living.
Yeah. A lot of families do that.
I don't think we should count them out, though, for naming a daughter Diana.
Yeah.
This kid's not going to reach the throne. They're going to be seventh in line to the throne.
Yeah.
So, like, I see it as it's a nice way to pay tribute to the late.
Yeah, I'm rooting for that. I'm rooting for that name.
Princess Charlotte already has it as one of her many middle names, but I'm waiting for like one of them to actually get it as a first name.
Or Elizabeth.
Or Elizabeth, but because they're not like ever going to reach the throne, I feel like they have a little more freedom as to what they can name this kid versus William and Kate, I think, really have to
stick to traditional. Hence
Wayne. Hence
Wayne.
Those are good names.
Well, one of the big stories this year was, especially here at Zoomer, was how women over 50 sort of took charge of the cultural firestorm. We're sort of in the center of it in different ways. We talk about like the return of Murphy Brown and people looking to Candace Bergen as Murphy Brown to sort of be a counterpoint to President Trump. You know, which kind of ties back into his reactions to older women, Hillary Clinton and so forth. And then, I mean, Roseanne was a big deal coming back and then getting canceled. You had actresses like Ashley Judd and Salma Hayek. And I always say her name wrong. I'm sorry. Annabella Sciorra.
Sciorra.
And, of course, Mira Sorvino.
And Mira Sorvino, exactly, leading the Me Too stand at the Oscars. Nicole Kidman took a stand for against ageism at the Golden Globes. And this was a huge year for women in our Zoomer demo over the age of 50, like taking charge and leading the crusade.
Yes, yes, it was. I mean, when you think
of... See, this is how Mike asks questions. He brings us into the conversation. It's amazing, actually. And then it gets you to be... Basically, he just wants to say, so what do you think about all these broads standing up for themselves? That's how I would ask the question.
Yeah. And are we asking that? Is that the question?
That is the question.
Essentially, yeah.
Okay. Well, it's interesting because you talk about Mira Sorvino and Ashley Judd taking a stand at the Oscars. Well, of course, they took a stand much earlier
than
that.
Of course, yeah.
When the news broke in October 2017, it was Sorvino and Judd who put their names on the line in the New York Times and in I think the New Yorker as well. I think it was the New York Times actually for them, but it could have been the Ronan Farrow story. So they coming to the forefront in the Oscars, I think, was obviously symbolic.
Yeah.
It's an interesting time for any generation of woman right now, of women, sorry. You see people like Jane Fonda, who's a well-known activist, who's now in her 80s, and she hasn't slowed down at all in talking about the Time's Up.
Yeah.
And Me Too, hashtag Me Too. I think most women have experienced that at some point in their lives. So it's an interesting place to be. I don't know where it's going, and it's controversial for lots of reasons. But I think it's, it's... has to happen, and I've been happy to see it happen and watch it happen.
Now, obviously, I'm sitting in a room with three women, so my question is: I mean, it like you said, Kim, it offers a lot of hope for change. It offers a lot of opportunity for change. It's inspiring for everybody, man, women, or otherwise, to see these people take this sort of stand. As women, do you feel that there is change coming or that change is already happening?
It's totally happening.
Yeah. It's happening. It is happening. Systemic change takes a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what specific type of change are you talking about here?
And that's the thing. It's a gigantic issue, right? Like you can take it from so many different angles.
It's very true, though it's still going to be interesting to see what actually happens. Like with the case of Harvey Weinstein, there's already some of the charges have been dropped.
Yeah.
And so are they going to get a conviction out of Weinstein? Most people are saying no. And the only conviction this movement's really had so far is Bill Cosby, you know. So it's going to be interesting to see down the road what happens. I think systemic change is quite hard. I think people are much more cautious now. And I think you see meetings in Hollywood now when there's men and women in the room, the door's left open. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot more of that going on. And people are more cautious. People are giving lip service to it. But down the road to see if that kind of behavior can actually change, you know, I don't know. We'll see, you know.
Just in general, it's really moved women and young girls along in such a great way,
and hopefully young boys too.
And young boys too. Yeah, yeah. I was just going to say
absolutely.
To Exactly. Just the way we talk to people,
and
I think
teach our children how to talk to people. You know, and that's where the change is going to, I think, come. It's not going to be the people who are, you know, in their 60s and 70s that are going to make the most change. It's the kids who are going to, the generational change is going to happen. And that's going to be really nice to see.
Yeah, I interviewed a woman named Joanne Lippman. She's an author and an entrepreneur. And she was talking. I'm sorry, I don't remember the exact name of the book right now. It was an interview for a story I did with Suzanne Summers. But she was talking about this test you can take that she included in her book. But it was basically a test that you can take to see if you have any sort of gender bias, unbeknownst to you. You know, you might say, no, I'm all for equality and everything, but perhaps there are some underlying gender biases that you don't realize you have. And so but she said she took the test, the woman who's like, you know, crusading for equality, and she got 50% on it. So she had like a 50% like gender bias against women and like stuff that she didn't realize. And I just know as a man, like even here at Zoomer, we have a colleague who's very vocal about these issues. And one time I used the term girls when referring to women, and she called me on it, and she was right.
It wasn't the Lena Dunham show you were referring to?
No, I wasn't. It was
I use girls a lot.
So
myself.
Do I. And why is that bad?
I don't know.
I think it's different for women to say it.
Well, he's saying the woman's, you know, using girls was bad, you said.
Well, you know what? It was like if we were getting ready to come to this podcast, and I said, okay, girls, let's go. It would sound like talking to you three.
Yeah, there's something.
It's true. Because if
there
I said
is something
it to
about
us,
you saying, calling us girls.
It does bother me when.
But if I said, hey, girls, let's get some chocolate, would you guys find that
weird?
No,
because it's more of
affectionate.
Yeah. And I will say something else you may also see as confusing and hypocritical, Mike. I also don't mind if a gay man says it either.
Says what? Girls?
Says girls.
Yeah, but a straight man. It's interesting.
This is something. This is a gender
bias. I'm of a certain age, though, that I'm like, I'd be happy being called girl. Because I'm like 110.
Yeah.
So.
I'm not saying I'm right. I'm saying that I could definitely. I have this gender bias too. All the time.
Yeah, no, I do too.
Myself.
I'm trying to say, do I say boys?
Well, the whole point. This is the whole thing about this movement.
I say gentlemen.
It's not. I don't want to. I'm not going to pass judgment onto you, Mike, for saying anything, or someone else, or even myself.
Let's pass judgment onto Mike.
No. It's important that we don't pass judgment, Kim, because we're trying to get people to come along and move forward with us. I know, but you know.
Well, that's why this colleague was good. Like, she wasn't judging, but she was, like, pointing it out, like, hey, just so you realize you do say this.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my God. And ever since then, I'm very conscious of that. And it was something that I didn't mean in a derogatory way, but I understand how it comes off as that, and it can be taken that way.
Yeah.
And so I actively try to curb that behavior. But it's those, anyway, just to point out those things that sometimes we don't realize we're doing them, but we're doing them.
With any big movement, too, there's bumps in the road.
Of course,
there's a learning
curve
with anything, right?
Yeah, I'm all about the learning curve. You know, learn, but like, you know, don't take forever to learn.
Yeah,
Mike.
I'm trying.
We're waiting here, Mike. Come on.
Well, I mean, another one of the women that we interviewed earlier this year, Jane Seymour, she had kind of a big moment this year too. She became the oldest woman in history to pose in Playboy.
Yeah,
was she nude?
She wasn't nude.
No, she wasn't nude.
She was sort of
tastefully
in lingerie.
Tastefully clad.
Yeah.
But,
then why is that a big deal?
She was sexy, man. She looks great. Those are great photos.
I agree with you.
Why is it a big deal?
And we asked
her
about
that.
That's
like a woman posing in Vogue at 70. Mm-hmm. Like, why is that in tasteful fashion? Why is that a big deal? If she's not naked.
It was.
But there's women. People keep whispering, her age, her age. The thing is, like, so? If she's not naked, it's not Playboy, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. If she was naked at 67 or however old she is in Playboy, then I'm like, well, look, barrier's broken. But, you know, you get women older than that in Vogue wearing probably less.
So do you?
Sure,
really?
Sometimes you get swimwear stuff. I'm sure you do.
Oh, wow, nice.
You know, or you just get women of a certain age in fashion and stuff like that look just as good as Jane Seymour. So what's the big deal? I'm asking.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a good point. She was wearing lingerie or wearing like a fur or something. Gina and I interviewed her and we talked to her about it. She said she did it because she was asked. And I asked her that same question, like, how does it feel for everybody to be like, oh my God, Jane Seymour, why is she in Playboy? She's 67.
But it's not a barrier. It's not broken. Unless she's naked, that's what Playboy stands for, is nudes, tasteful nudes.
I know what you're saying. But it's a good point, because I get what Kim's saying. If she was posing naked at 67, it would be a huge deal because most people don't pose naked at that age. But if she's just
a model with nice
wearing
clothes.
Less
I get
clothes.
That, because when I heard that she was posed for Playboy, I was like, oh my God, immediately searched for the photos. Saw them and I was kind of like, she's posed for Playboy.
Right. Yeah.
It wasn't what I thought.
Yeah, she was a model. She could be Victoria's Secret. Like, whatever.
Okay, moving on, Mike.
up Bruce Springsteen because, number one, Kim is a huge fan.
Hey.
And also Laura. As well, he is still touring and still recording and doing all the stuff that we
it's
love from
sexy.
The boss. And
how
still
about
sexy.
His Broadway show? He hasn't been touring for a year. He's been on Broadway. Saying.
No, it's true. Did you
no,
ever...
what? What's the name of his show?
Springsteen on Broadway.
Oh, okay.
It's straightforward to the point.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's going to be on Netflix too, isn't it?
Yeah, because yes. His last show is, I think, the 14th, yeah. And it's on, I think, that day. So that's what I'll be doing.
2018 saw a number of classic rock artists and beloved musicians retire from the road, retire from touring. And some of them wrapped up their farewell tours. Some of them are still in the midst of it. Just a quick list that I put together. Elton John, he's in the midst of his farewell tour. Paul
and
Simon.
Extending it.
Yeah, and extending it. Paul Simon announced his and finished it already. Neil Diamond as well. Joan Baez, Rush announced that they're basically, I mean, they were kind of broken up anyway at this point, but Ozzy Osbourne, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Slayer. Eric Clapton.
Slayer,
yeah.
One of these things is
nice.
Not like.
And I mean,
others.
Eric Clapton mentioned he's going deaf, and he's not going to stop touring. But but it's an interesting thing with these because we would joke, we've joked and talked about it before how like Mick Jagger is still going with the Stones,
And the Who had how many
and
farewell
the Who,
concerts?
Exactly.
Right.
But we're saying like one day Mick Jagger will be like dancing on stage like he does, like doing the chicken dance, and he'll trip and fall and like break something. And an entire generation will gasp and then age like a decade in that one moment, you know, because like these rock stars who people grew up with, like it keeps you feeling, I think,
young
because they're still rocking. And then when these guys and women start to retire, it's almost like the end of an era. It feels kind of sad.
Well, for me, you didn't include the one I'm going to. I'm going to see Cher this year.
But she's not retiring.
Cher's the
tour.
Queen of farewell tours.
She's sort of.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. She's been on one long farewell tour.
She's been on a farewell tour for
I've
a
seen
decade.
The first back in 2003, I think, whenever
so
Believe
decade.
Came out.
Right.
I went to that one, the first of the farewell tours. And she did call it a farewell tour then. But yeah, I'm going to see her again, and I can't wait. And she's got a Broadway show out, too. But, you know, that. It's like Cher. Cher's not going to stop either. Like Cher keeps a whole generation feeling super young too. Woman has been a huge star from. Think about this: since the age of 16, and now she's 70 to 72.
Yeah,
how many decades is that? It's like
that's
four.
Too much math for me, but it's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah. It's a lot of
five.
Decades.
It's oh my god, crazy.
Actually, Elton John said, "I'm not going to do what Cher did. I'm not doing the Cher retirement tour, but I like her clothes."
Yeah.
but Elton, actually, because we're going to see Elton when he comes back to Toronto, he had this thing where he told his kids, apparently, I guess semi-jokingly, but actually he means it, when I'm dead, don't put me as a hologram on stage. Don't let me tour the world as a hologram. Like, that's a thing now that these...
Wasn't it you, Michael Jackson, recently? Michael... Or was it Prince?
Both.
No, Michael Jackson.
I think they've
Prince.
Done both.
Well, they did something weird with Prince.
They did Prince with Purple Rain.
They did something.
And Michael Jackson was a few years ago.
Yeah, and Tupac in the past too.
Yeah.
But it's becoming more of a thing. But there was I don't remember where I read it. I think it may have been in Rolling Stone. But there was a theory that with the deaths in 2016 and 2017 of not just one or two performers from that generation, but a whole bunch, you know, David Bowie, Prince, Tom Petty, George Michael, Greg Allman, and so on and so forth. It kind of served as a reality check, like that all of these, their peers, a lot of them died.
George Michael was young.
I know.
Really young.
53.
Well, I mean,
Prince.
Yeah. So, I mean, David Bowie, to an extent, not as young as them, but only in his...
69. He was very young.
So almost served as a reality check, maybe, for some of these artists who are, you know, thinking, oh, man, if I want to do anything after touring, maybe I should start wrapping up and spend that time with the family.
And then Mick and Keith just go on forever.
Mm-hmm. And Bruce is still going.
He's 69, I know. He's got energy like to spare that guy. So what did you see? Has he announced anything?
Who's 69?
Bruce Springsteen.
Okay, we've mentioned so many names right
now. Oh, sorry,
But I don't know. I haven't heard about a tour plan for Bruce after his Broadway thing. I think he's taking...
That's what I'm waiting for, though.
Yeah, me too. I want the next Springsteen tour.
Because we don't hear necessarily until they announce it, but they definitely announce when they're not doing it anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But actually, once for Zoomer, I interviewed Michael Jackson's bodyguards, and they were saying, you know, when you're Michael Jackson, even when you were 50, people come and they see you in concert and they expect to see Michael Jackson moonwalking and dancing and doing everything you did when you were 20.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're older or if your body hurts or you're injured. Yeah. And, you know, that's what I always think of when I think of like a Mick Jagger, you know, like he can't. I guess he could because it would be a cool concert, but he can't really go on stage and just sit on a stool and sing. Yeah. He's got to dance around. Yeah.
Same with Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
Right? He does all that. He's a very physical performer, right?
High energy,
But, you know, when you see him in person, the man's fit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just going to say it again.
Fit. Okay, Kim, we MIT. Get it. You're hot for Bruce.
Just saying.
There was one other singer I wanted to talk about very quickly, mm-hmm. and that was Leonard Cohen.
Oh, of course.
Of course. Everybody knows I love Leonard Cohen. Leonard Cohen.
Zoomer loves Leonard Cohen.
Yeah, of course. Zoomer. Leonard Cohen in 2018 released his last book of, I guess, poetry, writing, yeah. Released posthumously, called The Flame. And it's really interesting. We got a copy here at Zoomer, and it has the text messages he sent to people the day he died.
Oh, my God.
I didn't know that.
And, yeah, it's got like little messages that he sent. He had been emailing with a friend. I remember just sort of bookmarking the page to show to some people here. And so it's not just his poetry and his writing that he's been doing for the last few years and some lyrics, but also just some of these really personal effects. But he also won his first ever Grammy in 2018.
Yes, I know.
Best rock
Which
performance.
Which is crazy. Shocking, really.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Really? Yeah. First?
Best rock performance.
Well, he also just got his Canada Walk of Fame star, too,
just
didn't
the other day,
yeah.
As we record this, it was just last
weekend. I don't
know
what people were waiting for.
I know.
Him to die,
shocking.
Apparently.
Apparently, yeah.
Well, that's what
so
it all happened.
Dark.
I know, but
Kim just calls it like it is. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to throw in a bit of Leonard there. And also, very quickly, it was also Zoomer's 10th anniversary in 2018.
Yes.
And Kim is the only one in this room who was there.
Who's 10?
Who's 10?
In Zoomer years.
Yes. Well, you know, we've evolved. We still have top notch writers, some of the country's best writers. We still do nice long reads. You know, we're always current and try and stay on top of trends. So it's always been our mission is a positive view of aging. So that hasn't changed. We still try to get, you know, the most interesting people for our covers. And, you know, we're just, you keep kicking me. Am I
Sorry,
saying
that's
the wrong
an
thing?
Accident.
Okay.
You're not saying the wrong thing at all.
Is it true that there were like certain goals when you started, certain people that you wanted to profile or have on the cover?
Yeah.
And then, like, I feel like Jane Fonda was one of them, because I remember when we got her, everybody was really
very
happy
excited.
About
yeah,
that.
I mean, when we first started the magazine 10 years ago, we created a master list of who we thought would be great to get on the cover. And have we achieved all of those yet? No. But we've gotten most of them. One of the big gets that we got, and I think it took us 6 or 7 years, is Jane Fonda. She was a hard one to get on the cover, but once Grace and Frankie was on Netflix, Netflix delivered her to us, and we were able to go fly to California and do an original shoot and interview with her, and there was a set visit on Grace and Frankie, and that was a big deal. Getting Oprah for 2018 was a big deal for us.
The Prime Minister.
Yes.
Justin Trudeau.
Yes. You know, that took a year's worth of working with the Prime Minister's office. That Suzanne Boyd, our editor-in-chief, worked hard on that, developing that relationship. Anyone, though, they're all hard to get. They're always exciting when they come to us. You know, like Helen Mirren was obviously exciting. Kevin Costner was exciting for me because I did the interview.
Kevin Costner was exciting for everybody because we could all hear you doing the interview outside.
I know. Everyone hovered outside my closed door and was listening to that very distinctive voice.
Oh, wow. Are you a big Costner fan?
I am.
Oh. How is that interviewing someone that you're a big fan of? And
well, I wish it was in person, and not just because he's gorgeous, but because it's always better in person. I mean, when I did, when I interviewed Jeff Bridges, I had lunch with him in California in Santa Barbara, and that was spectacular. Because then you could really have a story when you're sitting there across from someone having a meal with them, and you get a more sense of their person. Kevin Costner, it's harder on the phone. I mean, and being a fan of theirs, it depends on the person, right? Because sometimes you have a fan and you meet them and it's a real letdown when you meet the real person, right?
Sure.
He exceeded expectations. He was so gracious, so lovely. And in fact, when the publicist cut into the phone call and said, it's time, you have your 15 minutes. He's like, no, I want to keep talking to her. And we went another 15 minutes with me.
Oh, nice.
That's the best feeling when they override the publicist.
Yeah, I love that. It's always a little good for the good old the reporter guy. And he was just so lovely and gracious and intelligent and really wanted to talk movie and the work and was very, very passionate about what he was doing. And he's just a lovely person.
Oh, cool.
Someone you want to have a bourbon with.
Absolutely.
A bourbon.
and another thing is Zoomer's had the website, everythingzoomer.com, but this year we relaunched it, right, Laura?
Yeah, almost a year ago, January.
Mm-hmm. It was What's relaunched. Different about it now? It's just...
Oh, the whole look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's beautiful now.
Yes, it's big and beautiful.
User experience, everything.
Everything's faster.
Continuous scroll,
yes.
Video.
You can have articles for days.
Yeah,
just keep reading.
Days.
Just keep going.
God, I did.
Mine sounds like a duck.
Okay, we're back. They all sound like ducks, don't they?
Where's my?
No, what is mine? That's awesome.
A dying duck.
Mine sounds like a dying duck.
That's so not a duck.
It was like me when
it's
I was
supposed to sound
movie.
Like this. Oh.
Do you want a different one?
Okay, so Gina's disqualified because can't take that seriously.
It's perfect. This is
your horn doll.
We're testing our New Year's horns.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what you're hearing is the little New Year's blowers that the three women have. They're going to...
The three women. The three girls.
Not the girls, the
yeah,
women.
Yeah, that's right.
The that's three right, females Mike. In the room with
We've
me.
All trained you well.
I just don't call us ladies either. Yeah. I'm no lady.
They're gonna blow the horn when they have the answer. It's gonna be like their bell to ding in.
We sure will.
It's like Jeopardy.
So tell the audience, this is Christmas and
Christmas movies and songs.
Christmas movies and music
trivia.
Gotcha.
Go ahead.
A lot of these films are classic films.
Actually, wait, hold on a minute.
So we're trying to guess the name of the movie. Is that the point?
Well, some of them will be the name of the movie. Some will be the name of the star. Some will be the name of the singer of the song.
Hold on a minute. I have to set up the ambiance. It's time for Christmas movies and music trivia. Do we all feel good?
Yes.
I hope this song's not one of your questions.
The 1942 film Holiday Inn features the classic song White Christmas, which has become the world's best-selling single. Which Holiday Inn star sings the song? Oh, that was Kim.
Crosby.
Yep.
That blow doesn't even work.
Oh,
you
that was amazing. I think Kim got that.
Yeah, she did get it.
Yeah. What's the answer,
Bing
Kim?
Bing
Crosby. All right.
I'm glad I didn't
Number
answer.
Two.
I was going to be wrong.
I knew that.
This 1946 Frank Capra holiday classic proved an inspiration to audiences but actually caused perspiration for its performers. That's because the winter set film was actually shot during a summer heat wave.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes.
That was a really long question, by the way.
Can you tell I've been watching Jeopardy all these?
Long-winded.
Like...
What is It's a Wonderful Life?
The 1947 holiday film Miracle on 34th Street is a beloved classic with a courtroom twist. In the movie, a man who works as a department store Santa is put on trial for claiming to be someone. Who does he claim to be?
Santa Claus.
Yeah. I hate these.
There we go. It's the green ones suck. There you go.
All right. Question the fourth. Originally panned by American audiences upon its theatrical release in 1951, this British-made Christmas film starring Alistair Sim... Yep, Laura.
A Christmas Carol. Or Scrooge.
Nope. Oh,
can you finish
it? Depends on where it's called, where it's released.
Okay, we'll give you
the
that.
The British-made Christmas film starring Alistair Sim is now considered a classic.
Okay.
Christmas Carol.
Yeah. Scrooge.
Or Scrooge, depending on where
it's
it was
Christmas
released.
Carol.
That's what I call it, yes.
Yeah. All right, in the 1966 TV special, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, which famous horror movie actually... Which famous horror movie actor voiced the Grinch?
Bela Lugosi?
No.
Vincent Price?
No.
Damn it. I know this.
You know it, Gina.
I know it too.
I
don't know it.
Oh, Boris Karloff?
Yep.
I was going to say Bela Lugosi, and I'm like, wait, he didn't have an accent.
No, but yeah. But
the B, I know. That's why I'm like, the B.
Boris Karloff.
I always confuse those two.
Good stuff,
Boris
Kim.
Yeah. All right.
All right, number six. Though not meant as a holiday film, many consider this 1988 action movie an alternative Christmas classic. I think that was Gina.
Scrooged?
Die Hard.
Die Hard.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Die Hard. I think Kim
Scrooged.
Got that one.
That is a Christmas movie.
I know.
This 1990 Christmas comedy proved so popular that it landed in the Guinness Book of World...
Home Alone?
Yes.
There you go.
Gina got one. It landed in the Guinness Book of World Records as the highest grossing live action comedy ever.
Huh. Interesting.
All right, so Kim's got four, Laura's got two, and Gina's got one.
What's the prize? Dark chocolate? Anyways.
You get to keep the horn.
Yeah. You can have the other two. Number eight. In Tim Burton's 1993 film, The Nightmare Before Christmas, main character Jack Skellington leaves his kingdom and stumbles into Christmastown. What is the name of the kingdom he left behind? Is that Gina?
Halloween Land?
Halloween Town.
Halloween Town.
Oh, I made that up. I've never seen the movie. Yes.
Good job, Laura.
Good job. Right. Good job.
Number nine, if Kim gets it, she clinches it. All right, in 2011, a Christmas movie soundtrack of Danny Elfman's music was finally released. And I say finally because the Christmas movie that the soundtrack belonged to actually hit theaters in 1988. What movie was it?
Edward Scissorhands?
Nope.
Wait, say it again.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't let me finish the question.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, Laura.
In 2011, a Christmas movie soundtrack of Danny Elfman's music was finally released. Danny Elfman Christmas movie soundtrack. And I say finally because the Christmas movie that the soundtrack belonged to actually hit theaters in 1988, 23 years earlier, and starred Bill Murray.
Scrooged.
Yes.
Because I put that in your head.
No, I knew that answer.
Okay.
Bill Murray. What else would it be?
Kim's got four. Laura's got four. Gina's got one.
Right, tiebreaker.
And this is the 10th question.
Yeah.
That's my favorite Christmas movie, Scrooge.
Yeah,
is it anybody
great.
Else's?
Right. No. No, it's not my favorite.
In the 2017 biographical drama, The Man Who Invented Christmas, who is the man referenced in the film's title?
Charles Dickens.
That's right.
Yes! I haven't seen that one, so I haven't seen it. Yay!
Hey, Laura, you win nothing but holiday cheer.
Laura owns Christmas.
In fact, I own Christmas.
Good job, Laura.
Exactly.
Yay.
Laura's the winner.
Yay.
Just quickly before we let you femme fatale and woman go.
Am I the woman?
Yeah, that's better. That's more natural.
Yeah, that's way more natural.
Anything in particular, pop culture-wise, that you're looking forward to in 2019?
I'm looking forward to season 3 of Stranger Things.
Oh, okay.
Not exactly Christmas fare. But
it doesn't have to be.
And it's not.
Aren't you looking forward to the next Star Wars movie?
Oh, yeah, I am, actually. I am and I'm not, because that was supposed to be Princess Leia's movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Carrie Fisher passed away, so I don't know what they're going to do with it. So I'm looking forward to it, but I'm kind of dreading it at the same time.
Also, Downton Abbey fan. Are you excited for that movie?
Yeah, Downton Abbey movie is coming out. I'm not particularly excited, because I'm like, they really closed off the series, I thought, quite beautifully, and I'm kind of like, so now what? It sort of feels like the Sex and the City movies. It's like, really? Do you need a movie?
Really?
I've never heard those in the same sentence before. Sex and the City and Downton Abbey.
Well, because they're both TV shows that have a movie, yes. Right? And it's sort of like, why?
And they're both raunchy. We all know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. What they get up to
too
in
much,
Abbey.
Too much.
Hey, Lady Mary, her lover died in her bed the very first episode, so come on.
Yeah. Oh.
How about you, Laura?
I'm really looking forward
to Gina. Go ahead.
I don't know what I'm looking forward to yet, so Gina can go.
A Game of Thrones. Isn't that coming back? Am I wrong? Am I still?
I don't watch.
I'm not a Game of Thrones.
I am huge, and I think it's coming back this year. Yeah, 2019.
The last season.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I've been looking forward to that for a long time because I'm a big nerd. Laura?
I don't know that I have one. I'm pretty excited. Margaret Atwood's writing a sequel to Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
What about the Royal Baby?
It comes out in September. Yeah, I'm excited. As excited as one can be about a child that's not theirs. Yeah, I'm excited about the Royal Baby.
Good answer.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to the Rocket Man movie, the Elton John Rocket Man movie.
Also the Rocket
Man. I love Elton John. Yeah. I'm going to his concert as we're going to Cher's. And
that's
the
great
Rocket
casting.
Man
movie. Who's the, what's the kid's name again? Taryn?
Tegan.
No. Taryn.
Egerton.
Edgerton.
Edgerton. Oh. Yeah, that's
Edgerton.
It.
Yeah.
Edgerton.
Is he related to the other Edgerton?
No, spelled differently. There's no D.
Okay.
But that Christmas commercial that they made of Elton John with that for the piano,
that one that went viral.
I feel like all the actors in that commercial looked more like Elton than the guy playing Elton in the movie. But I have high hopes for the movie. Bohemian Rhapsody was a lot of fun. I'm hoping Rocket Man holds up.
This guy's a good singer too. Yeah.
Oh, does he? Oh, he's not lip syncing.
Not that I know of, not based on the trailer.
Oh,
yeah. I think when I've seen in the trailer, when Elton's just sort of like fiddling on the piano, it's the actor. Maybe if they're like in the recording studio, it'll be Elton. But
some voices are too iconic to mimic.
That's what I mean. Right?
Yeah.
With that. You can't
Johnny
with
Cash
Freddie
was
Mercury.
Okay. Yeah. Joaquin Phoenix did a great job.
But Freddie Mercury.
I never saw that movie. Does he? He sings
Joaquin? The Walk of Line. Yeah.
Good.
So
cool.
Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, I have nothing against it. Not if you can do
not
it.
Not if you can do it. But
Freddie Mercury is a hard
can't.
Voice to do.
You can't impersonate. It's like doing a Bowie biopic. You can't impersonate.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's true too.
When is that coming out?
I know, right?
That's what I want to watch.
Me too.
You
gotta find somebody who's gonna get Tilda Swinton to play Bowie. Find somebody to do it.
Oh my God, that's a brilliant idea, Mike. I would love Tilda in that.
Yeah, no kidding. Or Annie. And Annie Lennox is the older.
Holy cow.
Oh,
why aren't we producing
Kim,
this?
Look
get
at
on
you.
That script.
Let's just go to Hollywood.
Get on
Kim
that
should
script.
Be the casting director on this
go,
one.
Right?
Jeez. Well, should we say goodbye and thank you to our guest, Gina?
Yeah,
God bless
you know what?
Us.
Goodbye. Mike wants you guys to leave.
I don't want to keep him as we wrap up.
No, guys, thank you so much for stepping
yes,
by.
Thank
guys.
You very much.
For inviting us. We'll see you again in a year.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or maybe we'll do this again. Yeah, Oscars.
Yeah, maybe for the Oscars. Yeah.
Oscars
cool.
Be fun. Let's
okay.
Do it.
All right.
Well, thanks, guys.
Happy holidays.
Thanks, girls. I can say that.
All right. So just before we go, Gina, you know, we've been talking about the last year, about pop culture, about Christmas movies and songs that we love. But I didn't get to ask you.
Did we talk about Christmas movies that we love?
Well, in the quiz.
Because we didn't. I mentioned my favorite and everybody was like, no, it's not. Scrooged is my favorite Christmas movie. And they all said, Laura and Kim were like, no,
you're wrong.
You're wrong. I'm like, what?
My favorite is Scrooge. So it's very close to yours. The Alistair Sim one. I love
except
that.
Mine's fun.
Ouch. God bless us, everyone. That's fun in a way, in a Victorian way.
Your accent of a little Victorian boy is fun. Dude, God bless us, everyone.
God bless us, everyone. That's my favorite Christmas. I also used to love the Mickey Christmas Carol. I don't know if you ever saw that growing up.
Yeah, I thought you were doing his voice just now.
Oh, that was the little boy who played Tiny Tim and Scrooge. Yeah. The Rudolph Claymation, you know, that's a really fun one.
That's a great one.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I love, that's like my favorite.
So Hermie the dentist, I interviewed him earlier this year.
The actual elf?
Yes. It wasn't for Ages and Icons. He's like 90.
The voice, the guy
now.
That.
Paul Soles. Oh. He's a Canadian actor, former broadcaster. Wow. He was the voice of Hermie the elf. I'm going to pull up his age here while we're talking. He was the voice of Hermie the elf in the Rudolph Claymation. He was the voice of the original Spider-Man in the Spider-Man cartoons.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow, yeah.
And he also did some interviewing on CBC. In fact, there's if you go on YouTube, you can see him interviewing Moses Neimer before when Moses was still at CBC, when he was, you know, in the early parts of his career. And he
holy cow.
So Paul Soles and Adrian Clarkson, the future Governor General of Canada, are interviewing Moses. So it's kind of an interesting thing. So, he was the first Spider-Man voice and Hermie, and he's 88.
he's 88.
Off by a few years, but Paul Soles.
All right. I just want to say a couple of things. First of all, I'm very thankful for our audience, and thank you for listening to us at Ages and Icons, our first year. And I look forward to bringing you more episodes in the new year. I'm not sure who we're going to have because we roll like that, you know, very on the fly.
We got some things lined up.
I think we got some big names coming up. And you'll enjoy that. So thank you to listening to us. And I just want to wish everybody a happy and safe holiday season and a lovely new year. And I hope that next year's going to be great. And I want to thank people who've helped us produce the show. There's Mike, of course, who's great and brings us so many wonderful interviews. And there's Kelly, an audio engineer here. We use her studio and she helps us out with recording phone calls and giving us studio time. And that's great. Also, Patrick, who lends us audio equipment, and he's the best. And just so many great people here at Zoomer Media. And we're very thankful for you. So thank you, everybody.
Absolutely. Mike? And thank you to Kim and Laura for coming in today and helping us out. Mm-hmm. And I echo Gina's sentiment. It's been a wonderful first year, and watching the audience grow and the podcast grow and ourselves grow in here has been a real learning experience for us. And without Gina, it wouldn't happen. And without everybody listening, it wouldn't happen. So thank you to Gina. Thank you to everybody. And we look forward to bringing you more in 2019. So I guess until then, happy holidays, happy new year. And we'll see you next year on Ages and Icons.
Happy New Year.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.